Have you ever imagined what it would be like to hear no sound? You could see the beautiful summer colors, those majestic mountains. You can feel the warmth on your skin. You can smell that smoke in the air, and you can taste that delicious Sour Patch ice cream. But you would not hear anything. Recently, I saw a video of a person with a hearing disability trying on cochlear implants for the first time. You might have seen this video too, like it's on Facebook or YouTube. And basically what it does is it captures the first moments when they hear sound for the first time. And the reactions are priceless or amazing. With all the babies who experienced sound for the first time, there was a look of shock and confusion. But eventually, there was a look of awe and delight, and even of joy at the sound of the voice of their mother for the first time. There was one baby who was sucking on a pacifier who was so shocked that he just opened his mouth and the pacifier just fell out of his mouth and he was just looking at his mom. When the adults with the hearing disability were able to hear for the first time, you could see the surprise and excitement wash over their face. And then it would hit them. A whole new reality that was hitherto unknown to them has now been opened. And new melodious sounds and music began to trickle and dance in their ears. And they began to weep profoundly. One of the adults who heard the sound of a saxophone for the first time, she said, "It sounds the way I had always imagined it." The power of hearing involves more than just the reception of noise. After being able to hear the sound, the adults didn't say to the doctor, "Oh, thank you for allowing me to be able to receive 150 hertz of sound waves into my ear." No, listening involved hearing the voice of a beloved whose words traveled through the ears and deep into the heart. When we truly hear, we encounter the voice of the other. And this voice of the other tells us who we are if we have ears to listen. And so with this insight in mind, you can imagine how the man who was deaf and mute in our gospel reacted to being able to hear for the first time. Imagine what he would have heard, the birds chirping, the breeze flowing in the wind, but more importantly, the first sound he literally heard was the voice of the Son of God. "Can you hear me? What does it feel like? You are precious and loved in my sight." And as Jesus is speaking to him, this man is weeping with tears of joy, so much so that even though Jesus ordered him not to speak, he could not contain it within himself and with the other people, that he spread it even all the more. This man understood in his heart the significance of this healing. He recognized that it was more than just hearing sound. Now he can hear the voices of the ones he loves tell him that they love him. He hears and he discovers his identity as one who is loved. So Jesus is inviting us to enter into this gospel, especially in our secular age. He's inviting us to be healed of our deafness in an age and in a time of the church where many wonder, where is God? Maybe some of us wonder where God is, just as I had at a certain point in my life. Especially in our moments of trial, he seems to be silent. And our faith in him begins to wane. Many years ago, when things were a little rough in my life, I went to confession. My confessor was awesome, but even then, it was one of those confessions where I felt weak. I felt unworthy. I felt like I had let God down. I felt deaf to his love. Anyways, I went home that day and I was watching a documentary about St. John Paul II on Netflix and how he took down communism. And as I was watching, I felt the stirring in my heart. I saw all these amazing things that John Paul was doing, that God was doing in his life. But I sensed God inspire me. And it was as if he was saying, Troy, I want to do great things with you. And I was like, what? Didn't you just hear my confession? Didn't you see how unworthy I am? But he reassured me and he said, Troy, it's not what you do that makes you worthy. It is my love that makes you worthy. It is my love that makes you worthy. This is not an excuse to not do anything and, you know, God loves us. But it's a reminder that we should not try to constantly earn his love, but to receive it. Something that is already freely given. Because in the moments of despair or weakness or suffering, we can hear the voice of the accuser, the voice of the enemy who puts us down and tells us that we are unworthy of his love and that we should just give up. But that is not the voice of the Father. That is not the voice of the one who sees us as we truly are, as his beloved children. And although he sees that we are weak and not worthy, we are weak to perform his work by our own power. He sends the gift of his Spirit to inflame our hearts, the gift of his Spirit of love, so that we can cooperate with his love, so that we can be made worthy. God wants to speak his personal word into our life, to change us, to reveal his voice to us in our deafness. So St. Alphonsus Liguori says, acquire the habit of speaking to God as if you were alone with God. Speak with familiarity and confidence as to your dearest and most loving friend. Speak of your life, your plans, your troubles, your joys, your fears. In return, God will speak to you. Not that you will hear audible words in your ears, but words that you will clearly understand in your heart. Yet sometimes our deafness is not imposed upon us from birth, like the man in our gospel. It's more self-induced and willingly accepted. The constant noise we experience in our lives can become such a distraction that we are not able to listen to his voice at all. We can be spiritually deaf to his love. At every moment of our life, we can fill the silence with music, podcasts, or any other sound. And what slowly begins to happen is that we drown out the voice of the Father. The Father who speaks words of love and even of challenge, and inevitably we forget or lose sight of him who is calling us to be his beloved children. We can even be tempted to say in our hearts, God doesn't exist. I've never heard him or met him. That's not to say that music and podcasts are bad. I know I listen to music and I listen to bad basketball podcasts or Catholic podcasts. It's just that these things aren't bad. It's just that God is better. And these things can help us to come to know God. But if we listen to it all the time and fill all of our hearing with this, then they can become a distraction from God. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we have intentional silence in our lives? Do we have intentional times of prayer in our life? When we drive, or before we sleep, or when we're exercising, what are we doing? Without silence in our lives, we do not have silence in our hearts. And without silence in our hearts, we do not create that space for God to speak truth into our lives. We become deaf to his voice and blind to our identity. As Cardinal Seurat says, God drapes himself in silence. And it is in there that we can find him. Even with the silence in our lives, it may be difficult to encounter God, to meet him, to know his name, to experience his love. In the midst of so much war, confusion, and potential exile, the Israelites experienced something like that in terms of the absence of God, the silence of God. But Isaiah reassured them, as we heard in our first reading, "Behold, your God will come. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." So when Jesus healed the man of his deafness and made him speak, he was deliberately fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, and he was essentially proclaiming in silence, "The one true God you have been looking for is here in your midst." And as Catholics, we believe that Jesus' presence, the presence of the Son of God, did not end with his death and resurrection, but that it continues here today, not with the saliva in his spit, but with the silence of the sacraments through which Christ continues to touch us in order to heal us. After I finished reading the gospel, you didn't say, "Praise to you, Lord Deacon Troy," right? It has a nice ring to it, but you know. You said, "Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is speaking to us in the words of the gospel. In a few moments, Deacon Stephen and I will assist with the baptism. And when Deacon Stephen says, "I baptize you," it is not Deacon Stephen speaking or baptizing, but Jesus, because it is Jesus who baptizes and who incorporates us and the little babies into the life of the Trinity. Most importantly, during the liturgy of the Eucharist, when Father Jonathan says, "This is my body, this is my blood," is no longer Father Jonathan speaking, but Jesus Christ speaking through him. And when we receive the bread, which is truly his body, and when we drink the wine, which is truly his blood, when we receive the Son of God into the silence of our hearts after communion, when we allow him to open the ears of our hearts to his voice, will we allow him to reveal to us our deepest and our truest identity? Because then, a supernatural world hitherto unknown to us will come bursting into our hearts. And then we will hear the voice of the God we have been seeking for all along. And we will weep and say in our hearts, "It sounds like I always imagined it."